Gracious God, open our eyes this day to that which leads us to hope and to greater trust in your power to turn the world around. May we see it and may we sing it. Amen. Well, today is February 2nd. Many of you know it as Groundhog Day. Did you know, however, that Groundhog Day actually has religious roots? It was brought to the United States by the German Lutherans who settled in Pennsylvania. Before it was known as Groundhog Day, however, it was celebrated as Candlemas. And Candlemas came to be the quick reference for the celebration of the day when Jesus was presented in the temple 40 days after his birth. Now that time period, even though some of you may recognize that as an important biblical number, 40, was actually the time period that relates to the purification of the mother who gave birth to the child being presented. On this 40th day is when she could finally be declared ritually clean after childbirth and then be returned to life in the community and did not have to quarantine herself. The scriptural reference for this story comes to us from the Gospel of Luke, which narrates the story we heard read of Mary and Joseph taking the infant Jesus to the temple and encountering spirit-filled Simeon and the prophet Anna. Because Simeon refers to Jesus as a light for revelation to the Gentiles, it came to be a day in which candlelight was celebrated long before electric light was even imagined. In Western Europe, of course, this day fell in the middle of winter. Thus, many more candles would be needed before the days lengthened, requiring less candlelight. Therefore, it became a day when people would bring their whole winter supply of candles to the church to be blessed for the remaining days of winter. Because of this practice, it came to be known as Candlemas. And what, might you be thinking, does this have to do with Groundhog Day? Well, because it was a day around the time when animals such as bears, wolves, and badgers begin to emerge from their dens, folklore around animals predicting weather patterns emerged and became associated with this day. So it was that good weather on Candlemas was taken to indicate severe winter weather later. In an early rhyme, it was said, "If Candlemas day is clear and bright, winter will have another bite. If Candlemas day brings cloud and rain, winter is gone and will not come again." Well, I think we're in trouble here in Corvallis this morning because it was pretty bright outside. So if this prediction is right, we might have some winter surprises yet. We'll see. So then the animals emerging from underground returned to their dens rather than staying out. It was believed that there would indeed be 40 more days of winter. Perhaps some of you are feeling like you too would like to not only stick your head in the sand, but take your whole body into a den away from the political fray, global threats, environmental challenges, or simply school, health, and personal issues by which we are challenged as we gather here on this day. Well, the world in which the characters in today's gospel narrative found themselves certainly were no better than ours, and many might say it was worse. King Herod the Great and his son Herod, in the face of criticism, disagreement, and challenges to their authority, didn't just verbally insult people, send slanderous tweets, fire them, or throw them under the bus. They actually killed them. To which the cruel, tragic death of John the Baptist testifies. So, what was it that Simeon and Anna saw and that Mary and Joseph felt that was so counter to the world in which they found themselves? We are told that for a long time, Simeon had been longing for the consolation of Israel. He was seeking and hoping for comfort in a very uncomfortable, distraught world. And it just so happened that he was nudged by the Holy Spirit to go to the temple. Have you ever been nudged by the Holy Spirit to do something? If so, and you actually do it, then you realize it was indeed the Holy Spirit leading you to do it. Once at the temple, Simeon not only saw the baby Jesus, but took him in his arms and burst into these wonderful words that have been put to music in many and various forms and are still sung. So it is that this song, referred to as the Nunc Dimittis, has been sung down through the ages of the church and is a fixed part of the nighttime service that is in our hymnal. We thank our musicians for singing it for us today. Through this song that has endured through many eras of violence and despair and distraught and kingdoms falling and kingdoms rising, through this song we find out what it was that the Holy Spirit led Simeon to see in the baby Jesus. He saw God's promise of salvation. Yet after he blesses the baby Mary and Joseph, he acknowledges that not everyone will see and support this path to salvation. In fact, some will oppose it. This opposition will cause division and pain, especially for the child's mother, Mary. Before Mary has much time to think about this, however, the sanctuary widow, Anna, comes on the scene. Typical of Luke, when he has a leading man in the story, he usually pairs him with a leading woman. So it is that the elderly Anna also sees redemption and promise in this child. Like Simeon, what she sees leads her to proclamation. Nothing in this world is beyond God's redemption, and that is something worth telling others about and worth singing about. There is much in our world and in our lives which sometimes causes us to lose hope, become discouraged, and fear the worst. Yet, in the presence of Jesus, God's redemption has come to us in the midst of all the division and destructive forces of the world and of our lives. We, like Simeon, who hold Jesus in our hands, when we receive the bread and wine of communion, Jesus' body and blood. In this, we find a power that is greater than any person, any level of corruption, any personal sin, or any heartache. May the Spirit lead you this day to open your eyes and and see God's power to redeem, to change things for the better, to change us. May your seeing then lead you to song so that you can join your voice to others to sing a new life, a new church, and a new world into being. Believing in the power of hymnody, I would like to invite you to join your voices in the words of a song that we will just speak for now rather than sing, but it is a powerful witness to what can happen when we hurl our songs and prayers against the darkness. So I invite you to take a red hymnal from the pew in which you are sitting, and if you would turn to hymn number 665, please. 665, and it's the hymn is called "Rise, Shine, You People." There are four verses, so I'm going to have this section of the congregation speak the first verse. I'll have everybody to the left of the aisle over here speak the second verse. Everybody to the right of the aisle speak the third verse, and you all over here speak the fourth verse. Let us begin. And I think it's appropriate, since this hymn is called Rise, Shine, for you to please rise in body or spirit. Rise, shine, you people. Christ the Lord has entered. Our human story, God in him is centered. He comes to us by death and sin surrounded, with grace unbounded. See how he sends the powers of evil reeling. He brings us freedom, light, and life and healing. All men and women who by guilt are driven now are forgiven. Come, celebrate your banners high unfurling. Your songs and prayers against the darkness hurling. To all the world, go out and tell the story of Jesus' glory. Tell how the Father sent his Son to save us. Tell how the Spirit calls from every nation God's new creation. If you are musically inclined, I invite you to consider taking a hymnal home with you and actually singing this powerful hymn. Empowered by singing, seeing, and holding salvation in our hands, may we join the Spirit in calling from every nation God's new creation. Amen. Amen.